game over. It's the Footy Wrap, football's round in review.
And the early markets for next weekend.
With Adam White and Andrew Hughes.
Yes, welcome on RSN 927 social media as well. You're with Andrew Hughes, Adam White with us. Adam, it's been an amazing season. It continues that way. Just so many unbelievable at times story plots.
Yes, good morning to you, Andrew. Yeah, absolutely. Again, this weekend, going into it, we knew that there were going to be upsets. We just didn't know necessarily what they would be, but certainly a lot more than we thought, particularly the two Sunday games, which has really sort of rocked the bottom half of the eight with some of the results. Sydney's back alive again. Melbourne's a little vulnerable. North Melbourne may miss the finals based on that loss to the Bulldogs. And Melbourne still needs to get to 13 wins as it stands at the moment. They're not there yet, and they've got two tough games to finish. And with Essendon just sort of floating, North Melbourne floating and Geelong floating outside the eight, one of those three could still make the eight. Maybe even two of those three could make the eight. So as we go into round 22 with only two more home and away rounds to go, the season is alive. That's just to get into the eight. And then we've got all the top four calculations with Hawthorn defeating Geelong, what that means for the Hawks, because they are now inside the top four, Hawthorn, when we weren't sure whether they'd actually make the eight 5 or 6 weeks ago. So many storylines. It's been an amazing season.
We said a few weeks ago that Richmond 250 was short enough. They're now 225 favourites at tab. The only thing about Richmond that concerns me is that nothing is going wrong for them at the moment. Everything. Yeah. I mean, do we have an element of luck across the competition as well? They are playing well. They don't have the injuries. It's almost going too well.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, because so many other teams have had to deal with adversity through the year. I think it's worth mentioning that even when you looked at the team sheet on Thursday night with Richmond, they did bring in four premiership players. So they have had some injuries. It's just not to their absolute important players. I mean, even on the weekend, Nankervis didn't play, albeit against Gold Coast. And they've got this game on Friday night against Essendon before the Bulldogs to finish. All of a sudden, the Bulldogs game is not quite as easy as what it might have been a month ago with the way the Bulldogs are playing. I think they should be about that price, 225. If you think back to the years where Hawthorn was so dominant, through most of the year, they would float around that sort of 6-4 mark, 7-4 mark. A little bit shorter than that Richmond at the moment. But the reality is, Andrew, that the Tigers, we know that they can do it in September because they did it so last year so dominantly, whereas there are question marks against everybody else that currently sits inside the top eight. So I understand where they're at with West Coast winning again. It's still very much unlikely that the Eagles could take over Richmond. In fact, it's almost impossible because it is a game and percentage with only two games remaining. But it does mean that Richmond will avoid any sort of scenario where they may have to travel to Perth in the first week, certainly, and probably they still would stay in Melbourne the whole way through the final series.
Well, the West Coast Eagles, what an important win for them to pinch that win, because just looking ahead, I could forecast if they can get over Melbourne. I say can because Melbourne are talented enough to pull off a win eventually, but you could almost see the West Coast Eagles going all out next weekend. If they beat the Demons and lock up second spot, would you agree with me that we might have a situation where a number of players wouldn't travel to the Gabba in the final round for the Eagles?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's a huge chance that will happen. Look, it was just massive in the context of the season, considering the week that West Coast had with Andrew Gaff, to go into the game without Gaff, Kennedy and Nat Nui, and to beat Port Adelaide on the road is a very, very significant win anyway. But from the point of view of trying to lock up that second spot so they don't have to travel in the first week of the finals, it was huge. And as it sits at the moment, they're a game and a half clear in second spot. So as you said, Andrew, all they've got to do is win one of their next two. And if they do that against Melbourne, they can do what they like against Brisbane the week after. I don't think they'll necessarily rest players because you've got the bye the week after. I don't think they'd want to be going into a final series with players missing, 2 weeks of football. But yeah, it's just all about getting that second spot. And it would appear, based on what happened after the siren with Jeremy McGovern, that they'll get the second spot. What are the odds on the Eagles at the moment?
Well, the Eagles are now third premiership favourite. The Giants, who keep on losing players, it's a strange situation with them. They are now second favourites at $7. West Coast are the third favourite at $8, even though they are very likely to have two home finals.
Who would you pick out of West Coast and the Giants at Perth Stadium in a final?
If the Eagles, don't get players back, but the Giants keep losing them as well, don't they? Look, I've got a, I won't say a soft spot, that's the wrong term. I'm one of those people in the last few years that just fell into the Giants as being the next big thing. So we keep on waiting and waiting. And for a lot of people, they're just doing what they expected them to do. You've been pushing for them all year. It's very hard to tip teams when injuries are a factor.
Well, absolutely.
See, if they're both at their best lineup, I'd take the Giants.
Yeah,
but that's not the case.
Yes, but going into a final, if they were the way they are at the moment. So obviously the Eagles aren't getting Natanui and Gaff back, so they should get Kennedy back. The Giants, it's really unsure as to what the makeup of their team will be. Because they could get Scully back, they could get Williams back, they could get Green back, they could potentially get Delidio back as well. I mean, they only lost to West Coast by 10 points at Perth Stadium, when really, I think they should have won that game. They had complete control in the midfield. So that's the matchup I don't think West Coast would want. I think they'd prefer to play Hawthorn or Collingwood or Sydney, even Melbourne. That's the one they don't want. I think it's the one that everyone doesn't want, the Giants in that first final, if it was a 1v4 or 2v3 situation. Look, the more I look at it, I see Richmond, they don't fear anybody. They think they can beat everybody because they pretty much have, particularly at the MCG, if you factor in the last year and a half. Whereas I think, as I was saying earlier, everyone else is a little vulnerable. So sort of packaging West Coast and the Giants together, we know the Eagles situation. We've spoken about that. From a Giants point of view, they've got Sydney this week, which is now not as easy as we thought with what Sydney have been able to do over the last 2 weeks. They're going to be without Heath Shaw for the next sort of 6 weeks, which is a bit of an issue for them in defence. Just from an experience point of view, you'd expect Kelly will probably get up. They lost Sam Reed as well with a hamstring. So again, that's just going to put a little bit more pressure on their depth. But some of their depth players are actually standing out. Riley Bonner is one of those who's been very good over the last couple of weeks since coming into the team. So I think the Giants can cover their injuries okay. I think they'll beat Sydney this week. And at the moment, sort of in that game, you've got the Giants around $1.65 and Sydney at $2.25. That game is at Spotless Stadium. Then they've got Melbourne in the last game. If it's second versus third with the Giants and West Coast, I'd be picking the Giants. Providing they don't lose too many more players.
It's RSN 927's Footy Wrap.
With Andrew Cusat and White, RSN 927. We might not call the footy, but we talk about it day and night. And on a Monday, we wrap up the weekend's footy and look at the ladder and some of the odds. Adam, Hawthorn are fourth on the ladder. In a strange way, I thought Hawthorn are right now ahead of where they should be. They were rebuilding. They were starting a new sort of resurgence. So I look at the ladder and see Hawthorn fourth, and I look at the ladder and see Geelong not even in the eight. So are Hawthorn playing above themselves?
Are they playing above themselves? I don't know.
Just things have fallen into place for them.
Well,
haven't they?
No, well, yes and no. I mean, they beat Geelong, and you know, if it was the other way around, if Geelong had beaten Hawthorn, you'd find that they'd both be on 48 points.
But I know you'd take Geelong rather than Hawthorn in September.
This is a good question. Now, I would have done that before the weekend, or a good point
you
made.
But you've got to get there first,
but
don't you?
But Hawthorn were too good for Geelong. And that's the first time I've thought, well, you know what, Hawthorn is actually a contender based on what they've done the last 2 weeks. Because I think you've got to put the Essendon game in there as well, because Essendon have only lost three times in the last 12 weeks. And they look vulnerable in that game and found a way to win after, you know, Essendon kicked the first three goals. And then against Geelong, they were just they had too much desire, too much purpose. They were so well organised. There was just so much to like about what Hawthorn did. Now, in the end, it did look like Geelong were charging late and may have come over the top of them, but they didn't. Hawthorn found the line. It was a really professional performance. You know, O'Meara's playing really good footy for the Hawks at the moment. We know what Mitchell can do. Isaac Smith should be in the All-Australian team. So while their midfield might not be as deep as some of the others, all the key players are playing well. But what they do well, Hawthorn, and they've done it well all year, is keep sides to low scores. They can stop the opposition playing it the way they want it to be played. Geelong could only manage 60 points on the weekend against the Hawks. They only had 5 goals to three-quarter time. It was just a really, really good performance. And I think, based on what I saw on Saturday, if they can replicate that, that sort of football's winning finals.
Well, Collingwood fifth on the table. We're both golfers, of course. And if in golfing terms, Collingwood are putting together a very good round, but just had a couple of bogeys in a row. Losses to Richmond and Sydney saw them go in the wrong direction. Their percentage is very strong. They're 118.3.
So yeah, but it's not as good as Hawthorn's.
No, it's not, but it's well clear of those below them. So they're in the mix, and they're going back in the right direction. What do you make of the Magpies?
Well, they just had to win on Saturday night, and they did. You know, the problem with the Magpies at the moment is the players that are out of the team injured. It's their defence that's, you know, really hampered at the moment with the players out of the team. That's not going to worry them against teams like Brisbane. It's going to worry them against the quality teams. They looked a little vulnerable there early, didn't they, when Brisbane put so much speed in the game. It looked like it was going to be played similarly to when they met earlier in the year. But just in the end, Collingwood's class in the midfield and the fact they've got Jordan Dugowie in their team and Brisbane don't have him in theirs was one of the key differences in the team. So it could have been potentially a bit of a banana skin game for Collingwood, but they were just too good. And, you know, when you look at who they've got this week, they've got Port Adelaide. It's at the MCG, Port Adelaide playing for their lives. It's not necessarily going to be an easy game for Collingwood, but if they want to finish inside the top four because of that win that Hawthorn had, they're going to have to keep winning because the Hawks, Andrew, have got St Kilda this week, and not only should they, or not only will they win that game, but they've got an opportunity to get a bit more of a percentage gap between the Hawks and the Magpies if they were to win by sort of 10 goals plus. So they'll be hunting percentage Hawthorn on Saturday night, whereas from a Collingwood perspective against Port Adelaide, they'd just be happy with the win.
And the Sydney Swans, that gutsy win over Melbourne with the emotion of losing Johnson. They had Smith injured early as well. Gee, we've had about four or five teams the last few weeks win with players down on the bench, so it throws out the window the need for a full complement of players. But Swans are now $1.15 to make the eight off the back of last week being about even money. They're all 8-point games at the moment, some of these, so what a huge result for them to pick up the win and stave off Melbourne picking up 4 points.
Well, I didn't think Sydney would make the finals, and I'm still not sure they will.
They're outsiders against the Giants next week.
Yeah.
Tab has them 220.
But they have got to 52, which is 13 wins, and we felt the whole way along, and I'm still inclined to think this way, that 52 and a good percentage will get you in. Sydney's problem is they don't have a good percentage. Their percentage is 109. So if you compare them to, say, Melbourne, who are now a game behind, but Melbourne's percentage is 130. Port Adelaide on 48 points, their percentage 113. And even down to Geelong, the Cats' percentage is 117.2. They're 2 games behind Sydney as it stands. But Geelong, I mean, they are not only going to win their next two, they're going to win them well and improve their percentage even further because they've got Fremantle and Gold Coast to finish both games at Cadinia Park. So Sydney, I'm not sure whether they need one more win. I'm inclined to think they probably do need one more win. So, it's an interesting finish for the Sydney Swans because they've got the Giants. And said, I think the Giants will win that. And then they finish with Hawthorn at the SCG. So I'm not saying both games are 50-50, but they're going to be a chance in both of those. If they play like they did against Melbourne, they'll get there. Because I thought they played extremely well against the Demons, particularly considering they were, as you said, Andrew, 2 down on the bench before quarter time.
Melbourne ran $1.30, and once again, this theme of not coming through against the stronger sides. But in this case, Sydney wasn't a stronger side. And, I mean, so much to play for. This is going to be a season not just for Melbourne. For so many players, teams, it'll say, if only what could have been. Blowing top blowing top eight chances.
I'm a bit different than you on Melbourne. Melbourne is what it is. And Tom and Goodwin kind of talked about this before the game. They are a young team, emerging team coming through. And what they've proven now over 21 weeks is they're not as good as a lot of people thought. Because they can't beat the good teams, because they're not good enough. I don't think it's necessarily that they keep shooting themselves in the foot. I just don't think they're good enough. If they had won against 3 or 4 of the top 8 teams through the year and then they dropped that one yesterday, you'd go, that's unacceptable, you know, because they're better than that. Maybe they're not better than that. Maybe they are a team that will either just make it or just miss and be better the year after. And that's my feeling a little bit on Melbourne. We'll
find
out.
You didn't say this before you took them at $1.30 in Tab Maldies before the round.
I was disappointed with them because I thought they would have too much in the midfield for Sydney. I thought they'd win. I thought they'd win easily. Right. Absolutely. But I think there's enough evidence now. Melbourne won my best bet of the weekend because I thought Sydney were vulnerable.
They're anchors for me.
Yeah, I thought
Sydney
were really
vulnerable.
Do they fall
in the eight? Do they still get in there?
I've got no idea. Yeah. And I don't mean to be smart by saying that, but they've got West Coast in Perth, and then they've got the Giants to finish. They need to get to 52 points. Their percentage will mean that 52 points will be enough. They sit on 48. So they've left themselves vulnerable because, as I said before, Geelong, with what they've got, they will leapfrog Melbourne if the Demons don't win one more game.
Wow.
So they're in a vulnerable position. The question is, and we'll get to them now, is Port Adelaide.
Just on
Port
Adelaide, imagine if you had a long-term finals bet on them and you got to cash out.
Imagine if that was the case.
Yeah, imagine that.
You'd just be sitting much more comfortably today.
Port Adelaide.
Port Adelaide are like Melbourne.
Well, if I just mention these games, this is in the last 2 months. Frio on the road, they were about $1.50. They were favourites against the Giants at the Adelaide Oval. They were favourites in the showdown. And, of course, on the weekend, they were favourites again. So they have blown so many chances. And now even money at Tab, $1.90 just to make the eight.
And they've lost their last three games at home, which is unforgivable when you're trying to lock up a spot in the finals. So they've got Collingwood at the MCG this week. Then they finish with Essendon at home. With a percentage of 113, I don't think they can catch Geelong's percentage. So Geelong will finish ahead of Port Adelaide on the ladder, unless Port Adelaide can find a way to beat Collingwood this week. Now, based on what we've seen, we don't think that's probable. North Melbourne's percentage, 109, Port Adelaide's 113. So you think that Port Adelaide would probably stay ahead of North Melbourne. It could go down for Port Adelaide needing to win that last game on a Friday night at home against Essendon to make the finals. Now, based on what we've seen from Port Adelaide over the last 5 or 6 weeks, that's doubtful. I think there should be a lot more scrutiny on Port Adelaide than Melbourne. I think they're both quite similar. I think that they're both a bit of a tease, but Port Adelaide's got more experienced players than Melbourne. They played in the finals last year. It would be a huge disappointment, particularly considering Motlop, Watts, and also Rockliffe were brought to that football team. If they were to miss the finals, that would be a huge failure.
Well, Geelong make it according to the tab because they're $1.20 to make the eight. So
well,
no panic,
I think
just
they
shared.
Will. No, I think they will because, as I said, they will definitely get to 52 points. And with a good percentage, I can't see how they miss.
And just finally, North Melbourne. A lot of people said they were zeroing in on ninth spot for a long way out. But they had three winnable games to finish and just shows the effect of one loss, and a loss when you lead by 5 goals at halftime. Last week we spoke, they're about $2.50 to make the eight. They're now $9 to make the eight.
This is the one unforced error above all for the weekend was North Melbourne, because I think North Melbourne would have probably made the finals had they beaten the Bulldogs yesterday. And as you said, Andrew, they gave up a lead, but by them losing now, it's virtually impossible, because even if they were to win their last two, in Adelaide, which is going to be difficult, they finished with St Kilda, but that still gets them to only 52 points, and with a percentage of 109, I don't think they can win. They won't be able to get past Geelong, and they've still got Melbourne and Port Adelaide, and now Sydney ahead of them as well. So Sydney winning just made it doubly as bad for North Melbourne having that loss yesterday.
Yeah, as you say, there would be 56 rather than 52 and they make the eight. Yeah. That whole game could cost them a finals berth.
And there is a lot of talk about Essendon still being alive. Well, the problem with Essendon is their percentage. So even if they were able to beat Richmond on the weekend, which I don't think they can, but even if they did, and then beat Port Adelaide in Adelaide in the last game, it still gets them to 52 points, but with a poor percentage, they're not going to be able to make it.
Look forward to hearing all of the thoughts across the week ahead on The Breakfast Club. Thank you, Adam.
Thanks, Andrew.
You can hear The Footy Wrap again on iTunes, on Facebook, and on the podcast page at rsn.net.au.